Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
I want to walk and talk with Jesus each and every day. I want my life to be an example for Him in every way. I want to treat my brothers the way that Jesus wants me to. He says we want to love you and how do you? I want to shower me with His blessings from up above and wrap me and wrap me and wrap me in the cradle of His love. I want Him to lead me and guide me in everything I say and do. In service, I want Him to choose me and use me. I do. Well, wonderful counselor, mighty Prince of Peace is He. And all I want each day is just to close to walk with Thee. Because I love Him, I love Him, I love Him. And I know He loves me. Oh, I said I love Him, 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 I love Him. Oh, yes, I do. And I know that He loves me. Yes, He loves me.
Praise the Lord. They're all singing like they believe it this morning.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. What a mighty God. Amen. Yeah. You know, sometimes someone could be in your presence, they don't think He's all that mighty. You know, I'm going through this, Brother Rob, if you only knew what I was going through. Where's this great mighty God at? And I said, you forsook Him.
Yes.
He said He'll never forsake you.
That's right.
But you forsook Him. Amen. You know, the way mankind is, Brother John, is they, when they're going through a complication, they never look at they're the ones that caused the complication. They always look at it as somebody else. You know, you want friends. The Bible says, show yourself friendly, Brother Randy. So when you're unfriendly all the time, then you look, well, this guy just acts like he don't like me. He's just acting like the way you act towards him. Amen. What y'all so amen. Quiet about this
right.
morning?
And,
amen. Praise the Lord. Everybody's doing trust well in the Lord. Amen. It's good to see Brother Cullen back there and his wonderful wife and babies. And well, she stole someone else's baby already when you got here. Amen. It's good to have you folks here this morning. It's family, brother.
Amen.
You know, they got natural family, but Jesus said, who is my family?
That's right.
Amen. That's our family right there. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Now I got you standing here for a moment. The Lord's put some things on my heart, and we trust that I'll have the liberty to speak and show me grace and kindness to allow me to stumble through what God has given me. Amen. I wish I could express to you I'm some great orator and speaker, but I do. I like what Brother Branham made a statement. He said, "Guy said you don't know your word very well," and he said, "But." I contest that now, but he said, I know the author.
Amen.
To me, that's one powerful statement. Amen. And I know the author. Amen.
Amen.
He lives in me. He walks in me. He sups in me. He dwells in me. Amen. He leads me. He guides me. He directs me. Amen. He's the one that controls the flow of the rivers of living water that we were talking about.
Right.
You know, as a song was being sang a minute ago, I got a river of life flowing out of me. Amen.
Amen.
And you know, rivers are a very important thing to life on this earth. You know, rivers delivering water, delivering life. Amen. To the world that it's relative to. And you know, the people of this world are dependent upon you to have that river of life. I mean, because you're going to bring them life. Amen. And where do we find the tree of life? It's by the river. Amen. You know, and when we speak in a river, we'll think of, you know, a water. You know, we've even heard of stories of the river of blood. The Bible talks about the blood running through the horse's bridle there in the end time. You know, so we think of things of such, and then this river of life flowing out of you. You know, people are waters, brother. They represent in the book of Revelation many places the beast coming up out of the waters. You know, people think, man, I'm standing on the Pacific looking out across and looking for this beast to come up. Man, you should turn around, put your back to the sea. and look to the people, and you'll see the beast coming right out
that's
of the people.
Right. Amen.
Amen. And that's where he finds his power.
Amen.
Finds his strength. Amen.
Yep.
So I know I got you standing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the house of God. We thank you for the family of God and a brotherhood. Most of all, we thank you, Lord God, we've passed from death unto life because the love we have one for another, for the brethren, Lord God. Oh, Father, as we all press our way into your kingdom, Lord, trying to fight the good fight of faith, Lord, let us be steadfast, Lord God, and diligent in our cause and our way. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. As I use two words in prayer, you can be seated this morning, of steadfast and diligence. We may have an opportunity to speak a little bit on those things. And we could examine, possibly question our own selves. Amen. You know, a man that there's a point that a man can question himself to such a way that he will be overcome in condemnation, or he'll be overcome in a lack of ability to accomplish a task, because he questioned himself to such a way that he will back off from doing something, feeling inadequate. Well, the first thing is, a man, you should feel inadequate. Amen. As a man, you're inadequate to do anything. And if we were going to say there was any adequacy, it would be in Christ and Christ alone. So there's always a struggle, continual struggle, to apply godly principles. You apply many of the spiritual principles to your intellect, then what it's going to do is going to cause you to puff up. As we talk about knowledge, the Bible said knowledge puffeth up. But then the Bible also says a man lacking in knowledge will die. So the only way we can understand two sides of one thing, because when you get puffed up, you get haughty. When you get haughty, you get arrogant. When you get arrogant, you fall. So I see people get puffed up, haughty, caught up in their own deceit and intellect. Amen? And they get to a place of real, true, genuine danger through knowledge. But then yet another knowledge again catcheth man up. Amen? In the proper things of God. You see, when we go into the gifts of God, the knowledge is one of the gifts. So we wouldn't want to ever seem to look at something, you know, like, you know, it says by one and the same Spirit. So when we think of knowledge, we don't want to, you know, like ever think of it, you know, because it comes by the Spirit of God. But there's another knowledge that, again, comes by the intellect of man, and it destroys. And when we think of catching up, the whole church is looking for a rapture, catching up, this and that. But it said another one was there. But how did he get there? Another way. See, his way didn't work, did it? He climbed up another way, and he was cast out. But another one was caught up by faith and the grace of God. Now, that one that was caught up, he remaineth there and abideth there forever. Amen? So it seems like always in the Word and in the Scriptures, there are things that are obtainable through two different means. You know, we could think about the uncertain sound. Some go to battle by the uncertain sound. Some go by the distinct sound. The uncertain sound, you might find yourself in the battlefield with no help there because you went out of time, out of the will, out of the purpose. You see, you put a group of men on a battlefield. The enemy, the adversary, is going to see numbers. And he's going to see the power that comes with numbers. Amen? And they're going to retreat or back off. But all of a sudden they find you there by yourself. They're going to feel powerful and they're going to overtake. You know, one says, well, you know, hey, all I need is Jesus Christ, man. He gives me all power and authority, and with him I could stand. Well, even with him, the Bible said one could set 1,000 and two could set 10,000. Amen? So numbers are great. I don't want to limit a man. He finds himself in an adverse way. The Bible said, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death and 10,000 on your right or 20,000 or however it expressed on your left, you know, you're going to walk in faith in God and trust. And we see so many places in the Bible where God would relinquish or diminish down the strength of man, taking their weapons away from them. sending them into battle with a clay pot and a club and a candle, you know. These were warriors, man, accustomed to having a sword and a shield. But he diminished down or took away their natural power that he could show his supernatural power. As I say, so oftentimes things that devastate mankind, you know, they get a report their wife got, you know, stage 4 cancer and she's just got a few months to live. And mankind's devastated. You would be, I would be, or whatever. That's man. All men's hearts fashion alike. But then God smiles. He said, now they see that man can do nothing. And now maybe they could look in my direction and see that I could do all things. Amen. And as one said to the Lord, he said, well, these tribulations or persecutions or these things in my life, are they from my sins or from the sins of my father? You know, and he said, no, it's for God could be magnified and God could be glorified. And sometimes, brethren, people don't see strength until they see something that has to be applied. You know, if we're saved by faith and we're going to make it in solely by faith and faith alone, then if something is going to have to prepare our faith. The Bible said contend for the faith. So faith is one of these most important things, even though the Bible again says it's invisible, but the invisible works and powers of faith will bring forth something visible, something as an evidence. So faith is one of these most important things that we got to have. Then what we have to do is we got to be looking, pressing for the opportunities. Let's put 2 Peter, the first chapter over here, Brother Chuck, on this Bible. I'm going to try to take my time this morning. You know, I can preach, and or at least I make an attempt at it. But, you know, and maybe take time just to talk with you a little bit this morning, maybe do a little bit of teaching, amen, and expounding or talking about the things of God. Sometimes I like to go line upon line and go down the scriptures, and sometimes there's things in scriptures that we will, you know, Brother Billy Becker is a locksmith. And he makes keys. You know, we find our pastor, Brother Pike, you know, has a book called Keys to Having Faith. A key opens something. So there must be a key, just in thinking of this title, you know, there has to be a something to open up faith to you. Amen? When Brother Billy would be making a key, he could make, and let's say it's got 6 notches on this key, okay? And he could have 5 of them notches absolutely perfect, but one of them not being in place properly, all the other 5 are all of a sudden of no effect. It takes every single one of these things coming together to open up that door. And so many times in speaking with men and our mankind, you know, male, female alike, dealing with them, all their hearts being fashioned alike, and many times they'll want to really take your time to show you the significance of the 5 that they've got lined up. Well, this brother over here's only got 3 lined up. I got 5. Well, nevertheless, brother, the one that you don't have isn't going to let you open the door. I want to get it all together. Amen? And in many times, in analyzation and judgments and different things, that's the way we judge. Well, you know, I'm better than this guy. This guy here, man, he can't this and he can't that, so that makes me a little bit better. Well, that's a terrible way to look at anything, brother. You know, what we do is we look to the Word. And if we're going to perfect anything, we're going to perfect to the Word. Amen? And we're going to come in line with the Word. The Word has all authority and all power, has life. Amen? We got to bring the Word made known, make the Word made manifest. Not just talk about the Word, but bring the Word forth. So, you know, we think of the song they're singing here about the rivers of life. You know, another place it talks about the light, and it said, you know, we don't want to hide it under a bushel. You don't want to put a dam on the river of life, do we? We want to open up them floodgates, amen, and let these things go forth to help, to replenish, to bring life, amen. 2 Peter, the first chapter. Simon Peter, servant of and apostle of Jesus Christ. Good place to start right there, ain't it? Sometimes we're a servant of the church, the apostate church. Sometimes we're a servant of the people. Amen? People dictate. They can dictate your life. Pastors, most of them are orchestrated, by a deacon board, the power and authority over them. I do believe in order. I do believe in headship. I try working with brethren and ministers and things. I try never to take their sovereignty. If they feel that God's called them in a certain area, I'll help them in every way that I can to help them in the area that they feel directed into. You know, I don't try to set their course or change their course. I just try to help perfect their course. Amen. And sometimes they've got to go through some of the struggles. In the struggles, we find the strength. As we've brought out in many times about the butterfly coming out of the cocoon. In the struggle of going through that, the struggle is what pushes the fluids into make it a creature of flight. Equip yourself with a mind to suffer. The church has taken away suffering. Oh yeah, Jesus done all the suffering for us. But he said, equip yourself with a mind to suffer. In the sufferings, brethren, is where things are perfected and made strong. And when we go and read in the scriptures and we think of Hebrews 11, we always be thinking, you know, about this book that is set aside to talk about what faith is. You know, when I go over here and read in the book of faith, we say, you know, and he was sitting over there talking with his friends at Walmart or McDonald's drinking coffee. This one had cream and this one likes his a latte and this one like, and they sat there and got this great faith. Faith comes by hearing of the word of God. So yes, you could sit over there at McDonald's and you could drink your coffee and you could talk about the word, and the word of God can bring faith. So don't misunderstand me. But the thing is when I read about faith being made known and being made manifest, it's always in adversity. It's always where there's something that would take a life or lose a loss of life or a loss of family of some kind of sort. There was always some kind of a supernatural act. When you see a man, you know, that's in the military and you see him standing before the commanders and maybe even the commander-in-chief of the nation and they're awarding him and giving him medals, could be a, you know, a medal of honor of some type or of some heroism of some kind of great task that he's done. They do have progression of medals for, they'll have contests to see who could blindfoldedly put their gun together the fastest. So they do challenge each other in things that they need to know to do, yes. But when you usually see them progressing on, it's through some means of a manifestation of an hidden character or quality. When a man overcomes for the protection of his own life, willing to lay his life down for his fellow soldiers, they recognize that as heroism, or they recognize that as a man that really proved himself. Amen? You know, it's like, how many of you heard of this pilot named Scully before he put an airplane down and saved thousands of people? Did I pronounce his name wrong? Is it Scully? Solly. But, you know, how many of you heard about him? All of his years of success, all of his years of flying airplanes, all of his years, nobody could have probably told you anything about him. But because of this great act of expressing and showing an ability in an adverse way, he's known around the world, spoke about, considered a hero. And you say, what does this have to do with Christianity? It might have everything to do with you, because so many times we sit in the easy seat and we think we're going to have faith. We sit in the easy seat. Let somebody else always take on the labors, take on the press, take on the push, take on the fight, take on the struggle. Amen? But somewhere you're going to be called to the forefront and you're going to have to show yourself. Amen? Amen. One day the sparring partner is going to be taken out of the ring. You got pretty cocky with him and pretty good. You put him on his hind end a couple times. But now the real opponent's going to come and you're going to have to prove yourself. Amen. Simon Peter, a servant of the apostle of Jesus Christ. So he's a servant of the right place. Amen. To them that have obtained like precious faith. That's going to leave a lot of us out right there. With us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. You say, how could we be left out? Because it's the righteousness of God. And I say, yes, it is. So if we've obtained this thing, it's because of the righteousness of God. But many times we can't accept the righteousness of God because we more so lean on the righteousness of our own self and our own act and our own life. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now, I told you I'm going to take some time, but here's that word knowledge again. So speaking a moment ago, I'm bringing out a differentiation. I listened to a message many years ago, Brother Pike, and I remember so significant that he took much time. He said, there's only one knowledge. There's only one knowledge. But then yet here I am tonight, and it looks like I'm doing everything I can to differentiate knowledge. Well, this is a man that taught me to do that. But in this particular message, he was being very sure there's only one knowledge. There's only one God. Now, the mankind, when they break down this one God, they make him three persons out of their ignorance. It's just ignorance. They have absolutely zero Bible, but it's a carnal mind. Shows their weakness. But when you get your eyes opened by the light of God and understanding, it's so simple to understand that you differentiate one God into a spirit. Amen. The invisible part of God can't be a person. Amen. And these are simple things to us. Something invisible is not a person. Even though that the etymology of the word person now in our day and time, because of the disputes of Christology, they are disputing and saying now an invisible spirit can be a person. But that's not the way the original word. I could say that, you know, Brother Ed over here, Rasko, you know, is gay. Well, so today it has a whole different meaning than the original word of it. And I know I say these things all the time, but you understand what I'm saying? So, you know, if you get into a real biblical dispute with a theologian today, and he's standing for a three-God man, and you know, he's trying to defend all of the failed hundreds of years since this three-person Godhead thing come in, he's going to go to the commentaries of the day, and he's going to define person as something, as a spirit, invisible now. And see, that's so gross an error. And the thing is, again, the etymology of this word person has translated around that they could justify their doctrinal error. So after you get down and justify it, for you could remain in your denomination, for you could remain on their payroll, for you could remain in their service, so to speak, instead of the service of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you're in servitude to denominationalism, as we started out in verse 1. Amen? Jesus Christ, a servant of Him. That's where we got to be. If it separates us from our denomination, if it separates us from the people, separates us from our family. He said, I didn't come to bring peace, but I come to bring a sword. He divides brethren, mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters and things. He divides them. You see, people don't accustom to that. They think, oh man, he's a God of love and he just brings everybody together. He ain't looking for your little love sort of thing, you know, what you call love. You've got that word so messed up. If you want to get into etymology again, you know, you got words. So, you know, come on, let's stop it. You know, Wendy's over here, man, I love their French fries. And then you say, oh, I love God. Well, I hope it's more than a French fry. Yeah, I hope it's a whole lot more than a fry, right? Amen. But we, you know, words are powerful. We lie to our children, say, sticks and stones will break my bones. Words will never hurt me. That's one of the biggest lies you could teach a kid. But this is what you do through your fairy tales and your cartoons and stuff. You teach your children lies. Words are powerful. Their words could curse them into hell and damnation. Their words could curse other people into hell. God gave us the power of the word. Amen. And we need to honor the word. We need to guard over our conversations. We need to guard over the things that we hear by words. Words could destroy you. Words could kill you. Amen. You love the Lord this morning? Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God. It's the only place you'll find it. And of Jesus our Lord. According as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertaineth unto life and godliness. Sometimes we want the things that pertain to life and we want to remove the godliness part. Though the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Amen. If you look at the sandblasting on that door out there, it's got virtue and glory. Amen. That's something very important. It was the virtue that went out of the Lord, brothers and sisters, that healed the woman with the issue of blood. It was the virtue. Amen. The virtue. Amen. We need the virtue. Brother Pike was speaking about fasting many years ago and talking about it. And he says, why? You know, why do we need to fast? You know, why should we do these things? And he said, that's the difference. He said, a man that's going to deny and to separate and to put himself in such ways could find and draw the virtue of God. Amen. Through these things. Brethren, it takes an effort. You think, well, I've got a knowledge of Jesus and he came into this world and died for me. The devil's got that also. Oh, but I really believe, so does the devil. Come on now. So it's going to have to go a little farther than what you think it does. It's like a man and wife who get married and they have a relationship, wedding night, okay? You know, goes after that and has no more relationships and thinking, well, you know, I'm going to have a family. Don't work that way, does it? But many times, you know, you had a relationship, got a goosebump in the altars. Or, you know, you was fortunate enough to stand before the great Billy Graham one day and you said this prayer after him. And you and 10,000 other people left the altar saying, I'm saved. Well, you're on your way to hell. Well, you don't come against Brother Graham now. Well, he was the devil. You say, oh, come on, Brother Rob, you can't say that. Well, the Bible says this. Is God going to curse the Son of God? But the Bible said if they bring any other doctrine than what the Lord Jesus Christ brings, let him be accursed. Would God curse the Son of God or would he curse the devil? Okay. So he brought a doctrine that was absolutely opposing everything that my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ stood for. Amen. So that's why I could say things that I say. He said, was it necessary to say those things? Yeah, it's necessary to get people out of witchcraft and out of darkness. And out of doctrines of devils. Amen. These messages right now, we're going into a prison, being broadcast into a prison. You know, there's men right now that are probably pulled the earbuds out of their ears and threw them down just because of that one statement. You say, well, then you ain't got much wisdom. No, that man ain't got no God. And he needs to get born again and know that there is a proper way to follow the Lord. Amen. And he needs to quit following in his knowledge, in his intellect, and in his way. Amen. And he needs to get God's way. Peter started out here. He said, a servant of Jesus Christ, not a servant of denominationalism, not a servant to something of such, but to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the Word. And the Word is made flesh. The Word is made known. Amen. And we're commanded to defend the Word. Amen. And when Jesus tells us if they bring in any other doctrine than what he brought, let them be accursed. So when Billy Graham brings Catholic priests into his meetings as counselors and says if anybody writes down on their paper that they are a Catholic, shoot them back to the Catholic Church. That's a devil, brother. That is a devil. I'd never send a man or a woman to the Catholic Church. I'd never allow a priest to be a counselor in one of my meetings. Amen. I was happened to be one that went through the training and stuff to be a counselor in one of his meetings. And I think about the reprobates that were there standing in the same line to go over and pray with the people that come forth for a confession and invite them into their churches. It was a mess. Amen. Okay, enough of that. Let's go on down here just a little bit more. Well, you're coming against the pastor that all of America has recognized. The Bible said the whole world shall follow after the Antichrist. How do you think the Antichrist is going to come? For you fairy tale sissies that got, you know, wearing a little red coat and a little horns and carrying a fork, if you think he's coming that way, I'm sorry. You've been taught that foolishness from childhood and you make the devil into a play game thing. But man, he's real. He comes in a three-piece suit. He's polished. He's dressed well. He's an orator. He can speak. He's a minister of Satan that has transformed himself as an angel of light is what the Bible says. Amen? To get the whole world to follow after him. He's got even a King James Bible in his hand. Oh, to make sure that he's got all the theological things crossed and lined up perfect. He's the master of deception. If somebody's going to come rob you or come make some kind of a con presentation to you, if a guy's going to con me to be a cop and he's going to make me think that he's a police officer for he can take advantage of me some way, what's the first thing he's probably going to do? He's probably going to have a police uniform on, wouldn't you think? And he's probably going to have a badge, wouldn't you think? And he might even have a car out there with a little symbol on the side of it, huh? And you know, just because he drives up in the right kind of car and wearing the right kind of suit, he might be a wolf down there in that sheep's clothing, huh? Satan is the master of deception. You know, we go all the way back into the Old Testament, and we find that God was doing things, and Satan, through the powers of witchcraft and deception and all these kind of things, these magicians, they throw down a stick and it turns into a serpent. Man, I'm impressed. But I like what the one that Moses had did. It swallowed them up. Amen. Hallelujah. And when these pretty boy preachers, they get up here, boy, and they flamboyant, boy, they got you, man, and they're good orators. Brother Pike was speaking about Brother Graham at one time, and he said he had that voice. He said it was, mesmerize you. But it was just that thing. He said it would just like rock people to sleep. You know, he said, yeah, Brother Pike was just jealous of him because he had thousands of followers. Brother Pike would speak against a man like that. Well, you're on your way to hell for thinking like that. Amen. And you say, it's about Brother George Pike. You always got to bring it out about brother. He just was a good man of God. Oh, he had problems just like I do. He was a man. He was in a travail just like I am, against the flesh, against the man part of him every day. He struggled. Amen. But I tell you, he brought some beautiful, awesome things forth and out. You know, some people think, well, I don't think all those things are necessary. Well, your way ain't working. His way appeared to work. He had diligence and he endured all the way to the end. Amen. He wasn't caught up in every wind of doctrine and tossed to and fro. He wasn't stumbling around looking for his place. He knew who he was, where he was at, and what he was here for. He was steadfast and stable man. Amen. So it's okay. The Bible said, give honor who honor's due. I honor you also. Amen. I honor you for your works and your labors, your obediences, your endeavors. Amen. Well, we're getting there. Found verse 3. We only got about a few more to go. Y'all got time this morning. Glory and virtue. You can say a lot of things and do a lot of things, but one thing that you cannot counterfeit and one thing that you cannot imitate is the virtue of God. You could talk like God, act like God, walk like God. You could speak like God. You could prophesy, you could cast out devils, you could speak in tongues, you could dance, you could shout, you can get goosebumps. Amen. But you can't imitate the virtue of God. Amen. Nor the glory. He said he'll give his glory to none other. But who are we? We're the sons of God. And it ain't going to be given to any other. Amen. Come on, church. Amen. That should thrill your heart. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. That's where the virtue lies at. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Having escaped. Some haven't escaped the corruption. We're actually going to look at this chapter in a little bit of a chronological way. For we can come down through this thing and understand, you know, that there's a progression. Now, I started out talking about Brother Billy back here with a key. Now, he can go down and get this key in shape just right, but one part of it is out of order. The key is not going to work. It's not going to open the door. Amen? So many of these things that we're talking about, if we leave that part out of our life, if we leave this godliness part out, that could be part of the thing to open up this door to you. You understand that? So we don't want to leave any of these things out. I'm taking time to look at them. So we're going to have to escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving diligence. Diligence. There's many times, let's take and remove diligence for a moment. We're not going to remove any of this word. But for a moment, if we remove the diligence, we say add to your faith, virtue. Okay, into virtue knowledge. But if we look at diligence here, in diligence, you know, okay, man, I've done real good to escape the lust and the corruption of flesh yesterday or the day before. You know, but he said, what hinders you? You ran the race well, but what hindered you? You know, I said so oftentimes, if you go to a car race, and I'm not going to no car race. I haven't been to a car race since I was probably, I don't know, might have been preteens. I don't know, I have. I went to a hard top race on the fairgrounds when I was a little older, maybe even married. I don't know. But I'm not into that stuff. I could care less about your racers, you know, but I could use it as an allegory. I could care less who's got the cup or whatever, and you know, I could care less the stinking stripped off whore they brought out there to give you your trophy. I could care less about that stuff. But I could use again the allegory of racing. And the guy, if you go to a 500 lap race and it's a mile course, and you watch him all day long, and this old boy's out in the front, boy. And I mean the news media and everybody's rooting and this and that. And he's the one. He's the one. He's the one. It comes down to the last straightaway before the finish. And here's the guy pursuing him right on him. He puts his foot down as hard as he can to make sure he can keep his lead and blows his engine right there at that time. Smoke goes rolling out. And all of a sudden you watch him roll off the track. It could have been 1 foot, Brother John, from the finish line. But all of a sudden, somebody finished. They got the glory. They got the praise. They got the prize. They got the reward. No matter how well this guy done all the way through, boy, he was diligent for 499 laps. So we're looking at a mechanical failure to show this story here, but might be that, you know, he had his chest out, rubbing that steering wheel a little bit too hard and lost control on the last lap because he thought he had it in the bag. Ever seen that happen before? Get overconfident? Lord raised up kings. Tried to give the people a king to help them and lead them, direct them and guide them, raise them up. And then pretty soon they didn't follow the order. They weren't diligent to do what the Lord said and the prophets said. The prophets would command them. They would go before the prophets for direction and things, but after they got so big, man, I got more chariots, I got more horsemen, I got more everything, man, I don't need to go talk to these prophets. And boy, God would bring them down. It would be the adversary bring them down. God allowed it. Evil can't come lest he send it. So he made allowances for those things. Amen? Are you with me, church, this morning? And besides this, giving all diligence, Psalm 78 right here, you don't have to look over there, but I'm going to read it. It says, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation. Ooh, how many of us are like our stubborn fathers and rebellious mothers? What'd y'all laugh when I got through the mama part for, man? Child, you just shut up, Robert. A generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Amen? They weren't steadfast. I'll tell you, man, steadfastness with the Lord. The Bible says a double-minded man. Could we ever speak of a double-minded man or a woman as being steadfast? I'd say not. Let me tell you something. Many times saints reflect. We never look. God is so faithful, or so, I'll say, kind to us to allow allegories and allow things happening in the world of sight to understand the invisible world. You see, the Spirit's invisible. I'm talking about faith here this morning, and faith is invisible. But the substance of faith is not invisible. But faith is invisible. Amen? So, you know, we have to find how to bring these invisible things to fruition, to sight, to evidence. Amen? You know, if I invited the whole church to go to lunch today, you would be thinking, well, I guess the guy's got enough money to buy everybody lunch. But you don't know that until I pull it out. Right? Something invisible. Then, you know, the evidence of it, you're all fat and full and ate too much, right? You say you sometimes you're things that you bring forth. But let's go for just a little bit more. Right on down in the same chapter of Psalms, it says, for their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. Well, when you say their heart wasn't right, nor were they steadfast. So we find these things working together. Is that right? Amen. I want to go just down a little more here. Therefore, my beloved brethren, 1 Corinthians 15:58. I love Corinthians 15 chapter, boy. the latter part of it even more so. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. So we're reading about diligence right here at the beginning of this thing. And I'm over here in a word of steadfast. They run together, brethren. You know, a steadfast man, he's established. Amen. And he's going to be very diligent at what he does. Now, if we remove God from the equation, as I was saying many times, we look at this invisible world by the things which appear, and this is the grace of God. I quoted a scripture just a moment ago about a double-minded man is unstable. It didn't say in some of his ways. It said in all of his ways. If a man is double-minded, he's going to have a bad marriage. If a man is double-minded, he's going to have bad business. If a man is double-minded, he's going to have a bad relationship with God. Amen? I should have started with that one. Because that, when you got a bad relationship with God, everything's going to be messed up. We have it. You know, Brother Rob, that's where I disagree with you. You know, I know a man that don't even believe in God. Man, he's been married for 14 years, and he's got a good marriage. Yeah, those are the uncertain sounds that God put there for you'll stumble and burn in hell. You know, we in a message in America of prosperity. You know, man, if you're prospering, you know, and they make you the deacon in the church because you're a businessman. You know, and hey, boy, you the one. That's an uncertain sound. When that man ain't fit, he starts barking orders to his pastor and preacher because they made him a deacon because he's good in the business affairs of the land. What an uncertain sound. Amen. Well, preacher, you just want to control everything. You ain't going to have. I have men's meeting here. We give men a floor and an opportunity to set course, and we try to counsel together, reason together, pray together, speak together, talk together, and discuss things together. This ain't no one-man show here. I'm in submission to a brotherhood, and a brotherhood's in submission. And this is the way this place operates and counsels. And you say, well, I've got an idea. This is what I want to do. It's going to go before the council of the Lord. And your idea, because of your undiligence and your lack of being steadfast, is probably going to be discounted because it's one of them little whims, I should say, that you got through your intellectual concepts of overconfident thinking of a self-righteous reprobate. Wow. Help me, Jesus. Amen. You say, that sounded mean. Well, it's not no pleasure to go to hell. I hope preacher could sound mean enough to scare you out of hell. Amen. Amen. You ever heard the term scare the hell out of you? I sure wish I could scare the hell out of you. Man, you're full. It just emanates from you. It's like a volcano in there spewing out. Amen. See, people get offended by words. I say, you're a bastard. You say, man, that offends me. It should offend you. You need a father. Amen. Amen. Well, you shouldn't talk like that. No, the preachers need to talk more like that because they got church full of bastards. Amen? Well, that's improper terminology, Brother Rob. It's not improper terminology. It's absolutely adequate to show a person that doesn't know the Father, that doesn't have a spirit crying Abba Father in them. Well, you don't need to speak so clear. Well, that's the problem. People aren't speaking clear. And the condition of it, because everybody wants to kind of calm everything down. If you want a Joel Osteen message, go to Texas. Amen. Take it easy, church. Yeah, but Brother Rob, he's got 25,000. You got a little handful. I'm going to have a little handful in the kingdom with me for all of eternity while he's got 25,000 chewing on him in hell through all of eternity. Which one do you want? Brother Pike, in his early years of ministry, went into a vision. And the Lord showed him this big, beautiful church with beautiful stained glass. He said everything looked so perfect. And he went in this vision, and man, he saw this thing, and being young in the Lord and a young minister, he looked at this thing with, man, just everything looked perfect. And he's going, wow, man. And the Lord said, this is what you want. He's like, wow. And then the Lord showed him a little narrow way. Amen. A path of suffering and sorrows and hate. And bitterness of all the things of people hating you and coming against you. And he's seen all that and he said, is this what you want? He said, Lord, you know what I want. I want to be in your will. See, Jesus had the same thing taking place right there at Gethsemane. He could have yielded to the zealots of his day. These zealot men that wanted to take the kingdom by force. Come on, we can do this. He could have yielded to them. He could have pulled an army together and tried to make this world the kingdom. But he said, my kingdom is not with observation. That's one of your problems. Your kingdom is with observation. But he said, my kingdom's without observation. The Bible says that no man will see it. Amen. As they won't see God. He said, though you have eyes, you do not see. And they were looking at him. But they didn't see who he was. They were looking at the veil. But if they could have seen beyond the veil, amen, then they would have been invited into a life of suffering with him. Because he was the firstborn of many brethren, and he came to suffer, and he birthed us that we could suffer. I know that your world and your church don't want to talk about suffering. Oh, it's all about little fairy tales, and oh boy, everything great. But brethren, equip yourself with a mind to suffer. He said you're a soldier. Prepare yourself to fight the good fight of faith. And when you're walking with Jesus, he said that they hated him first, they're going to hate you likewise. But your little Christianities, you know, all little bed of roses, and you're going to, you know, go to the ice skating park, you know, hanging out with your little girl in the miniskirt. You're a reprobate. You need to get born again. Amen. If you had the Holy Ghost, God would pull you away from those things. Amen. You love the Lord this morning? It's only about your soul. For their heart was not right with him. Their heart wasn't right with him. Bible said that a man's heart is continually evil and wicked and divisive, and a man doesn't know his own heart. And the preacher in your church will say, well, just follow your heart. That guy needs to be slapped down. Don't follow your reprobate heart. It's wretched. Amen. Your heart will deceive you. Come on, brethren. Follow the word of God. Follow the word. Your heart will bring corruption to the word. Your heart will bring a deviation to the scriptures and the word. Amen? You're going to have a heart transplant. Amen? And get a moldable and pliable one with God. Amen? Then we could talk and look at the heart in a different way. We're always differentiating things, aren't we? Amen? But that heart of man is God-awful. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. And beside this, giving all diligence. Amen. Brother Chuck, put diligence up here in this little window for a moment. I wanted to maybe look a little bit more. We can go by this, brethren, but you know, a man is diligent on his job. And he gets there with a mind to work. The Bible said they built the walls back because they had a mind to work. Amen. These men were so diligent about building the walls back that in the scriptures it showed in one case they had a trowel in one hand and a sword in the other. You know, I'm thinking like, you know, hey, I'm going to let this wall lay waste here for a little bit, man. I got an adversary. I mean, I'm going to have a sword in both hands or a shield and a sword. And I'm going to be fine. But they had a purpose, Brother John, to build a wall back. And they needed to get this wall up. This wall that Trump's wanted to put down here on the southern border, there's a purpose for it in the timing right now and everything that's going on. And the reason it's being fought by the liberals is because it brings a dispensational close to this air called grace. And it's something that God's going to allow to happen and take place because the grace dispensation is coming to a close. And you that are in false doctrine and playing around with worldly things and pleasures of the man and pleasures of life when the blood comes off the mercy seat, you're going to be seen of what you are. Right now you're under the grace, you dance in the grace, you have pleasure in the grace. The Bible said you take it to your flesh for your fleshly life, your fleshly lust, your fleshly pride, your fleshly business, your fleshly pleasures, everything. Oh, it's I'm under the grace. God loves me just the way that I am. And you're doing that. But when that grace comes off, that blood comes off, you're going to be exposed of what you are. Amen. And there's going to be no grace for you. He said he'll laugh at you on the day of your calamity. He said you're like a she-bear that was robbed of her whelps or her cubs. And said it'll tear you into pieces. And you say, Brother Rob, what are you trying to do? Scare people? You know, I said, if I could scare the hell out of you, I would. Amen. Come on now. That's what I mean that. Amen? You know, fear is a wonderful thing. It brings wisdom. But where's the fear of God in America? Where is the real, true, genuine fear of the Lord in the land you live in? You could get upset with me and think I preach too strong. You could tell me how crude I talk and that you're just not a very good speaker. You insult people and offend people. Well, so did Jesus. Well, he said in his word, if you bear up, put a millstone around your neck as Fenway. He's talking about a baby. But why would a theologian in their own mind bring me a scripture like that? They're so puffed up in their mind and they're walking, man, I got this thing down, man, I got it all under control. You know, man, I know who I am in Christ. That's so they talk like a theologian, but when you bring the scriptures, they want to throw the baby card at you. They do it all the time. Yeah, I was talking with a man, a minister, and we got into a biblical, I'll use the word dispute. I don't like those. But I'm called to defend the word. I'm talking with a man of God. Paul went to Peter's face openly. He was in a dispute with him. He said, I don't like what you're doing. You get around these people and you change. You know, either you're going to believe in this liberty of Jesus Christ that he did wash these people and cleanse these people that were considered uncommon or unclean to us. Either you're going to believe it or not. But when he got around the Jews, he would separate himself. Amen. So he went to him. So I had a right to get into this discussion with this minister. But I'm talking to him. And you know, he's wanting to dispute with me. And then we get down, well, I just come with the knowledge of Jesus and him crucified. He took a great man of God that teaches us to be diligent and steadfast and to fight the good fight of faith and to press for the mark of the high calling and to have this endurance. And the same very man that says all of these things, he goes on reading scripture. I just came with the knowledge of Jesus Christ and him. What a sissified reprobate. I'm sorry, brethren. They always go to the scriptures like that to justify their false doctrine, to justify their ignorance. And they're going to stand on one scripture. And if I could get down to the latter part of this chapter, I could help you. But I don't know if I'm going to make it that far. See, I'm going to start preaching. Take it easy, Brother Rob. I love y'all. I'm not ill with anybody, brother. I just don't like the devil. Okay, thank you, Brother Chuck. Let me just look at a couple things here. And keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Telling you to keep it, huh? Watch over that thing. It gets you in trouble. Amen. How many have had little daughters? Or maybe I could talk to the little daughters that their heart went after, oh, this guy, I really like him. He's cute. He's got a pretty little smile, doesn't he? Yeah, watch your heart, girl. Sucker's a wolf. When thou goest with thine adversary to the magistrate, as thou art in the way, give diligence that thou mayest be delivered from him, lest he hale thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and the officer cast thee into prison. Very beautiful allegory. Or he, Romans 12:8 says, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, and he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, and he that ruleth with diligence, he that shows mercy with cheerfulness. Amen. Somewhat expounding on a couple little key words that have to be in your life. If you're double-minded, you could come forth and show the most beautiful characteristics today to me. You could come forth and show really exceedingly, I mean, just so beautiful. It looks like, man, this is so good and so fit. Man, I've been doing this for many years, brethren, and I've seen men that were orators, speakers, that could hold the attention of people for hours. And the people would just come in an awestruck type of way. As Brother Ed said, as Billy Graham would mesmerize them. That's the word Brother George used. You know, that they're just like, whoa, you know. Brother George, if I recall right, I think he used the term like a baritone type voice that just kind of like rocks you to sleep. So many people that followed after Benny Hinn, that man went and done studies in group hypnosis, how to hypnotize a whole group of people. You know, he said, I don't believe in that. I kind of didn't either, but now I do after I see all the people that would follow after a pretty boy, reprobate, whoremongering dog called himself a preacher. On open television, they show him with a woman going into a motel room with another woman when he's married to somebody else. I call that a reprobate, don't you? Isn't that a devil, what devils do? But they, oh, but don't speak against God's elect, brother. You're going to bring the damnation of God down on you. If that's God's elect, I'm quitting. And you say, well, wait a minute, Brother Rob. He might be the elect in the foreknowledge of God. He very well may be. But he ain't walking like the elect. He ain't talking like the elect. And he's bringing false doctrine like the devil brings. Amen? Why do you have to beat these guys up to make you better? It sounds like dirty politics to me. No. That's not me at all. But what I am, I'm called to expose. Mark them. And these are leaders of America right now. These men are leaders of America. When Billy Graham passed away, they said, the pastor of America. He ain't my pastor. He ain't my pastor. He could be your pastor, America. I got a king named Jesus, amen. He's my shepherd, my leader, my guide, amen. All right, we're going to get on past diligence here, amen. To diligence to come shortly unto you. We desire that every one of you, to show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Endurance, diligence, steadfastness. It's ye that endure to the end. Amen? Let's go on. Okay, we're back over here in 2 Peter now. First chapter. And besides this, giving diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. You see, brethren, we were talking about a key to having faith. We're using faith as an example of thought, and have to have all these things in order. So I could say that one of these things in order to have faith is going to be diligence in your life. Because faith isn't double-minded. Faith isn't unstable. Faith isn't a wavering. There is a wavering faith, but it's not the faith that brings us into salvation. You know, we get involved in denominationalism and churches out there, and they'll be significant on a doctrine to justify their laziness. Well, we're saved by faith through grace, that no man could boast, not by works. And then people will hear this drilled into them. And the reason the preacher's drilling that particular scripture into them, because he has no works and no labors. He was out on the golf course, Brother John. He's out golfing, or he's out fishing, or he's out doing the pleasures of this world. He doesn't have the diligence to be steadfast seeking what God's called him to do and put him in the earth to do. He's doing other things. So he gets before the people and he brings a scripture out like that. And I'm not trampling on the word of God here. I am saved by grace through faith, not by works. But the thing is my Bible teaches me that without faith it's imputed to me as sin. And sin is the sting of death. And if I don't have faith, that means I got death on my trail and death on my heels. The last enemy of God was death, and he abolished it. But the only way I can see the abolishment of death is by faith. So faith is the most important thing for me to have. Amen? And the thing is, if the Bible said I got to have this endurance and diligence and steadfast and contend for the faith. Contend is another word that runs right in there with it. It isn't some, well, you know, I asked Jesus in my heart, you know, 19 years ago. Hey, praise God. Blah, blah, blah. Why you keep doing that? Because I'm mocking the stinking, reprobate mind of religion of America. America's a religious nation. It's not a godly nation. It's a religious nation. America has failed God most miserably, brethren. Well, I happen to be proud to be American. Well, I happen to be proud to be a son of God. I happen to be proud that Jesus is my King. I happen to be proud that He's my Lord and my God. And I submit to Him and surrender to Him. And I'm steadfast in His doctrine. Amen. I'm diligent in His will. Amen. And I'm diligent in getting my will out of the way. I'm diligent about getting my ideology out of the way. I'm diligent about getting my denominationalism out of the way and diligent of getting his word and let it be his word be true and every man be a liar. Amen. And I found out that the master of deception has said the whole world will fall after him. He's got all the satellites in his favor. He's got all the ministers in his favor. He's got everything in his favor. He's got the education system, which Martin Luther, the one who starts this Protestant move coming out of Catholicism. And this guy says back in the 1500s, he said that the gateway to hell is going to be the education system. Amen. And thus saith the Lord. He was absolutely correct and right on. The education system of United States of America is the path and the gateway of the wide broad path of destruction to put people into damnation and hell. They send them to school and pollute their minds and get them thinking all the same way, showing the mirror side of what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to come into one mind and one accord, not piercing each other through, walking. So then we go over and we look at the world. America's coming in such a way. And got their leaders standing up, taking platforms, telling them to, at any force, at any way, these people that stand opposing our reprobate ideology that's been given to us through the college professors to kill innocent life. Run them out of the restaurants. Be cruel to them. Break the law if necessary. They get them on the televisions, burning police cars, burning towns and burning cities. Amen? Burning them up, you know, and coming against the police. We're finding police officers, innocent police officers trying to do their job, getting murdered and stuff in our streets because of the mind that I'm talking about that comes through education. The colleges are the breeding ground of imparting that kind of reprobate mind into him. Amen? The mind of man, the mind of the beast, the mind of the devil. Amen? I'm not preaching. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. So another thing we were speaking about here this morning was virtue and knowledge. Yes, but when we think of knowledge, and I differentiated it, there's a knowledge that I see destroy and kill mankind. It brings pride. The Bible said that, speaking of mankind, it says they die, they perish because of a lack of knowledge. So you as a Christian come to a knowledge of what Jesus did. Well, he came to the cross and died for me. I've got this knowledge. So that knowledge supersedes, you know, all things. And I say, yay and amen. I'm with you 100%. But here he's saying with this knowledge, we're going to be adding some things. Is that right? So if I have this knowledge of Jesus and him crucified, and I have this knowledge that he came and died for me, and I have this knowledge, the devil's got that same knowledge as he got salvation. Amen? We know he doesn't. Amen? So into knowledge, temperance. So what if I remove the temperance from knowledge? You know, when you think of things, you know, you got what they call tempered glass. It goes through a process, which is by heat and by fire and different things. There's tempered metals. You know how they get tempered? Through heat. Okay, the Bible said all the unseen things of the spirit world are revealed by the things that appear, right? So what's going to bring temperance to you, brethren? Fire! He said, there's going to one come after me that's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Amen? The Holy Ghost and fire. Well, how come you run from the fire when it comes to build the temperance in you? Maybe we should have closed out a minute ago. Amen. You know, brother, we need to be challenged. If you can be offended, like Brother Arthur said, if you can be offended, you need to be offended until you can be offended no more. When you're a son of God, you can't offend a son of God. Amen. Well, the Bible said if you offend one of these little ones, that's a little baby. You say, he's a child of God, but you don't want to offend a little baby. You know, we're going to work with them. We're going to love them. We're going to help them. Try to get them out of their diapers. Try to get their baby rattle out of their hand, put a sword in there, teach them how to fight. Amen. You know, when you're a little toddler and a little baby, you know, there's a lot of allowances made for you. A man soiled himself on the battlefield, he's probably going to be removed from the battlefield. A little child soils himself, you're going to go clean it up and keep getting it. Amen? So there's a little more expectation for the soldiers of God. Got any soldiers with me today? Amen. Amen. Giving all diligence. So I got to add to this faith, virtue. You say, well, Brother Rob, you said that can't imitate virtue. I say, amen. You know, Brother Pike would use a word, we're talking about a woman, and it's in its proper terminology, a woman losing her virtue. Mary had her virtue when she brought forth a child. You know, the terminology, you know, in Bible, virgin. You know, so, you know, when we think of faith and virtue, you know, there's an innocency in virtue. There's a purity in virtue, a cleanness in virtue. And the only way that we can have virtue has got to be given by God, because he had to wash us and make us without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. So this is the works of Christ. He made us pure and clean and white as the driven snow. Amen. And put our sins as far as the east is from the west. So this is where we're going to find this virtue at. But the thing is the faith that it spoke about right before this, you'll never see that nor have it without faith. So if I remove faith, then the virtue isn't going to have an effect in my life. You understand what I'm saying? But I have faith. And without faith, I won't know God nor please God. And when you don't know God or please God, then you can't have virtue. So again, these things, I'm trying to put it into like this key again. You got to have these things in an order and a perspective that you can have the things of God. Amen. In your life. But we just, you know, we get into this lascivious and lazy doctrine. Well, you know, Jesus gave me everything that pertaineth unto life. I just read this, and he did. Well, is that you're calling that lazy doctrine? Well, if you take not line upon line and precept upon precept, you took the truth of God's word. The Bible said, if they call upon the name of the Lord, thou shalt be saved. So you just take that and stand by that and make it a scripture that stands out here by itself. Well, you know, I called upon the name of the Lord. But then yet another scripture, the Bible said, line upon line and precept upon precept. In another place, that all them that do call upon the name of the Lord aren't. You understand? So it's again, line upon line. Well, don't make the Bible contradict itself. No, man is the only contradiction to God's word. The Bible don't contradict itself. It just speaks very dimensional. One place is speaking to a man. Another place is speaking to a son of God. And it speaks totally different. And they identify themselves differently. As a son of God, I identify myself without sin. As a man, I define myself as the manifestation of sinful flesh. What about a redeemed man? Well, now we're talking something different through the transformation of thought and mind. You see, but in my first birth, it's wretched and no good and dark and full of darkness, full of self-will. Amen? So we got to kill him out. That's why the Bible said to mortify him every day. Okay, you killed him last year, last month. You know, you done pretty good, but what's hindered you? You ran the race well. Man, you made it to that 499th lap. Yeah, and boy, you all glory and eyes were upon you, but now you failed. Amen. Let's go all the way with diligence. Amen. All the way in. And to knowledge temperance. So we talk about temperance and we talk about still being tempered by fire and these kind of things. So we're gonna have to take and add temperance. And the only way we're gonna get this is by, again, the works of God, by the fire of the Holy Ghost. Amen. 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 So, you know, if we seek after patience, and we're gonna get down to that in just a moment. But what brings patience? Well, some of you ought to be real patient, man. Come on now. Come on, somebody can smile a little bit. This ain't that tough this morning. Come on. And I'll tell you what, the fastest prayer I ever found answered when I prayed for patience. And I mean to tell you, man, all of a sudden all the darkness of hell was unleashed over my way. You know, man, I was going through tribulation, all kinds of stuff, thinking, whoa. You know, I didn't ask for that, Lord. You know, can we rewind this tape for just a moment? Where's the time machine? I want to back up for a moment in time. Amen. If you want to be a boxer, again, I'm not promoting sports. Last boxing match I watched was 1976. And I didn't like it then because it was rigged and I didn't like it. Amen? I ain't into that stuff, brother. I don't like it. I don't want anything to do with it. But let me tell you, them guys learned to fight. I could appreciate those men in the way that they learned and they trained and they pressed. They got out there and got knocked around a little bit to learn to fight. They got knocked around, huh? They get them a sparring partner, like they're going to put an adversary in. I've used aviation so many times. I say I'm flying a perfectly good airplane. Somebody shuts the engine off, shuts the fuel off. Tells you now you got to land at the hydraulic pump's out. You can't do it now with the engine-driven hydraulic pump. You're going to have to do some emergency thing to train me, to make me better, more proficient at what I do. So God, you know, you're supposed to be the military of God, the soldiers for Christ. And he's just going to let you sit around in R&R all day sucking on ice cream cones? What's he going to do with you if he wants you to be a soldier? Tell me, somebody. He's going to train you. He's going to perfect you. He's going to bring temperance to you by fire. Amen? He's going to make you strong. My father shared with me back in World War II things that would happen and things they would do. They made men back in them days. I've shared some of those stories with my grandson, Gabe, when he went into boot camp. And now they've limited what they can do. Well, you can only make them, if they're being disobedient, you can only make them do so many push-ups. You know, it's like, really? You know, oh, we're going to have a little safe zone now in the military? They got into colleges for your little snowflakes for they won't get melted. This is a safe zone with proper air conditioning for your snowflake won't melt. Nobody's going to talk to you about that you're a transvestite queer and offend you. Oh, God made you that way over here in the safe zone. Come on, brethren, please. I just, you know, there's some of the things I see being exposed through the education and through the ministry. It's Satan climbed up into the upper lintels. He's in the ministry. And some of the foolishness that they're putting on people, come on, brethren. Some of this, I mean, it's, I just can't find the proper words to express it. You know, I mean, in the scripture that I'd have you not to be ignorant. Ignorant is too soft for some of the things we're seeing. You know, to call them ignorant just don't carry the strength. Blind leaders of the blind, reprobates, and to knowledge temperance and temperance patience. Patience. So tribulation is going to bring forth patience. And so if you got any of these things going on in your life, you're out of the will of God. That's what most people think. But sometimes I find these things, you know, oh, I'm a Pentecostal preacher. I believe in healing, praise God. I believe in laying hands on the sick and them recovering, amen. Hallelujah. But the Bible said them that suffer in the flesh cease from sin. And it goes on to say, lay hands on no man suddenly. Oh, Mr. Pentecostal, man, oh man, I pray, you know, cast this thing out in Jesus' name. Get out of here, Satan. And you just got in the way of God. God wanted that man to suffer, for he'd cease from his sin. I used it as an allegory the other night about a man that robs God. You know, God's the one that said he cuts holes in their pockets. I mean, you ought to be able to see this. Like, hey, look at there. Big giant scissors coming down. What are they going to do with them? What you doing in my pocket? God cuts the pockets out. That means anything goes in them, it's going to go out on the ground. I mean, oh, that's so complicated. I just don't understand God. He cuts out their pockets because they're robbing him. So, I mean, with all sins, it's like, okay, I don't want to rob God. I'm going to be diligent about my giving, about my tithing. I'm going to be steadfast about these things, for my pockets won't get cut out. Amen? So, again, there's consequences. You know, we're in a world now that they want to remove the consequences. They make it somebody else's fault. Temperance we need. We need that kind of strength that we can keep the virtue. And the faith is going to be something, brethren. We're going to need that kind of a diligence. Amen. We're going to need that kind of temperance in us. Brother, sometimes things will oppose you. And the thing is when temperance, you're going to stand unmovable. When Jesus was there and they're driving nails and he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. That was an expression of temperance. Amen. There was a strength and a power there. Brethren, you could do that through will worship for a little bit, but there's going to be a time that you'll break. But if you've got the temperance of the Holy Ghost, amen, the fire of the Holy Ghost is going to strengthen you. As a man learns to fight or he learns to fly or he learns to drive or he learns whatever, there's going to be a progression of perfection, a progression of education, a progression of knowledge, a progression of understanding, and he's going to perfect and get better. When you got your driving permit or you got your driver's license, you 16-year-old boy, I knew that you could outdrive anybody in the world, but there was so much you didn't know. But you didn't know that you didn't know. Because, man, you could drive that baby. Man, you'd have won. And then all of a sudden, when the back end of your car passed the front end at 75 mile an hour, and, man, you didn't know which way to turn that wheel, all of a sudden there was something, education coming to you. I guess I wasn't as good as I thought I was. Amen. Whoa. And all of a sudden you got some education, some knowledge there. Like, dude, you better watch out. Amen. God allows some things to take place. And all these things are going to come to the sons of God because God is going to allow it to come to you to make you more than a conqueror. Amen. Some people are conquerors and some are more than conquerors. Amen. Well, he conquered death for me, Brother Rob, and he gave you the spirit to do the same. That's why I told you to mortify every day, to kill out every day. Don't get so lazy that you're just going to be totally 100% dependent on the works of Christ at Calvary. But if you've received his spirit, that means you got the same works in you. And the works isn't for your salvation. It's the works is for the people's salvation. Amen. And if they don't see temperance in you and diligence in you and virtue in you and this righteousness and godliness in you, then you have nothing to say to them. They don't understand the theological aspect of this word. But they see there's something lacking. But when Jesus was being nailed up there, that centurion looked and he said, there's something different about this guy. I've been out here, man, as a soldier for these Romans for years, standing here with a sword, you know, and a spear for years. And I've watched these guys kick and cuss and swear and all that. And here's when they're nailing up and he says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Man, this guy must be who he says he is. Now, how did that guy see that? Through temperance. Through patience, through suffering. Amen? And then you suffer a little bit. Well, I ain't going back to that church. Air conditioner just ain't cool enough. Boy, you got some real diligence, don't you? Brother Chuck, being here, and Brother Pete, Brother Andy, and all up raising up over there. We in meetings with Brother Pike, had no HVAC in the church and had blow heaters running to keep a chill off a little bit before we can come to church. And it was aggravating to have to try to tune in to hear the man of God with a right over here, blow heater blowing. You'd be sitting in some of the services sweating. Pretty little gal, man, got all fixed up just right and sweat just don't look too becoming. Running down her forehead, but they sit with diligence to hear and to listen. But we're so pampered today and everything, everything got to be just right. Come on, man. Where is your endurance and diligence? Amen. There was a man that was my dad's neighbor up in Ohio, and he was a professor at a college, and he was some kind of Catholic. I don't know, there's more than one flavor of Catholic. I'll share two stories with you, kind of go along the same. I had another man call me, he was listening to me on the radio up here, and he calls me up. And he wants to talk to me about suffering. And I preach suffering, brother, but he said, listen, preacher, you got an air conditioner in your house? I said, oh, yeah. Woohoo, well, I love it, too. An HVAC system, right? I got heat and air conditioning. Comfort zone brings comfort into my home. When it's too hot outside, it brings cool. When it's too cold outside, it brings heat, comfort. Man, I got another one, too, called the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. Sometimes it can heat you up a little too hot, get some temperance in you. Amen. But this man calls me, said, you got air conditioning house? I said, yes, sir. And he said, you need to go turn it off. He said, you sleep on a mattress. I said, oh, yeah. Man, I like it, too. Got that pillow top, brother, man. It kind of just flowed into that baby. Huh? Come on, y'all just stay with me for a minute. Come on, man. You don't like your mattress? How many of you sleeping on cement? Come on, if you are, let me know, man. I'll give you a mattress. I'll give you my pillow top and go get me another one. Come on, man. I like to share, man. If you're naked, I'm going to bring clothes to you. If you're hungry, I'm going to bring food to you. Amen. I'd like to see you in the comforts of God. Amen. But this guy tells me to get rid of my mattress. And then that wasn't good. I was going to tell me how to do it. Go up here to the furniture store, brother. They got these big boxes there, man. You know, and you get these big boxes, and what you need to do is you need to get about 6 of these big boxes and lay them on your floor. And sleep on those 6 boxes, and every week pull one of them boxes out. You know, I'm getting indoctrinated by this guy on the phone. I'm listening well, brother. And, you know, he's wanting to teach me how to suffer. You know, is he altogether wrong? No. Is he altogether ignorant? Yes. But I mean, come on, brethren. I will sleep on cardboard if God puts me in a mission field and I don't have the convenience that he has granted me here. I'm going to be inconvenient enough to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to somebody, and I'm not going to complain. I will sleep on a floor or a box. Amen. My wife and I have slept in some pretty rough places, even in traveling, trying to stay at the nicer motels even. We've gone into some of the doors that couldn't breathe in the room. Amen. So this man's teaching me. Well, then this other guy up here, my dad's neighbor in Ohio, my dad had a real nice car and he was selling it and the guy wanted to buy it. He said, well, here's what I want you to do and I'll buy the car. He said, I want you to take all the chrome off of the car. Now, a lot of the cars now have plastic bumpers and fenders on them or bumpers, so he didn't have to take bumpers off. But he took the chrome strips going down the side and the chrome going around the windshield. He didn't want that. He said, I'm afraid that it's going to make me look like I'm, yeah, maybe whatever, something, you know, that he was just wealth or, you know, he didn't want to project that. And he wanted to take the hubcaps off this car. Well, man, it was a good-looking car, and I saw this take place. I was up there visiting with my dad, and I'm thinking, like, wow, now it looks like, you know, the chrome taken off and the hubcaps taken off. It kind of looks, it made it really change the appearance of this car. That's why my wife wears makeup, Brother Rob. All right, I'm just being lighthearted and dumb. I'm sorry. Amen. And the patience, godliness. Where's the godliness in America that you're being trained by? That you got your eyes on. You look after Hollywood. You look after their magazines. You look after the way they dress. You look after the way they fix their hair. You look after the way they walk. And when God said he hates 7 things, one of them was the mincing of feet, talking about women. And you watch the Hollywood women, how they strut and how they walk and how they sway and how they swing. And we want to put on the tight dresses like they do and the tight fitting clothes like they do. It's because you got no godliness. And without godliness, the door will not open for faith. Amen. Thus saith the Lord. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hope some of you prisoners are listening in there. Amen. And to godliness, brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness, charity. Kindness. Well, he said something I don't like. I don't have to be kind to him. They called Jesus a devil. Beelzebub. Called him a wine bibber. They called him a devil. They said even the way he cast out devils, it was by the power of Beelzebub. He was still kind to him. Well, you know, Brother Robbie chased them out of the temple. The money changers, he kicked their tables over and ran them out of whip. That wasn't a kind. That was a very kind act to get them dogs out of the temple of God. That was a kind act, brother. And you say, oh, now I see how you interpret things. Brethren, he wasn't dealing with the heathen there. He wasn't dealing with the world there. He was purging out what was supposed to be the church or the religious of that time. We don't really call that the church. You know, we talk about the temple, you know, the high priesthood and all these different kind of things at that time, because the church is the birthing of Christ and this beginning that comes forth later. But it's what he had in mind, that virtuous woman without spot, wrinkle, and blemish. Amen. with godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, charity. You know, brethren, if we read about charity, you know, we're going to find that we're lacking. I'll stand here before you and I say, man, I lack nothing because of Christ. I say, yea and amen. But I'm talking about bringing the fruits of charity manifested in my life. Bringing this thing to a fruition. Bringing it to something that's visible. Bringing that faith into a substance. Bringing that faith into something tangible. Brethren, we could talk about the Word of God with every T crossed and every I dotted, have every comma in the right place and everything, but we're not bringing it to fruition. Like I said, there's men that could go study, and they could study the aviation, they could study the theories of flight, they could study everything, and they could sit and talk with you. It sounds like an aviator. They understand navigation, they understand meteorology, they understand the fundamentals of flight, they could sit and talk with you, but they've never exercised it. When Brother Emmanuel's trying to learn to drive a truck, Brother Chuck said something. He said, tell somebody how to ride a bicycle. Come on, somebody tell me how to ride a bicycle. Well, when you get on it, you grab on the handlebars. And that thing called a seat, you put your hind end down on it. You know? And then that pedal, when it's up top, push it down to the bottom. And when that one gets to the bottom, the other one comes to and push it down to the bottom, then the other one comes to. Now you got to know how to ride a bike. It don't work that way, does it? You cannot tell nobody how to ride a bicycle. It is impossible to tell somebody how to ride a bike. It is impossible. You know how people learn to ride a bike? They get on and ride. And they get bumps, bruises, scrapes. Well, I'm sitting here going to try to tell you how to live a Christian life. I could help you, but you're going to have to get out there. I could tell you, man, grip that sword strong. Man, make sure you got that handle all the way through the palm of your hand where you can see a little bit of it and get a good hold on that thing. You better learn how to swing it too. The Bible said, woe unto him that holds a sword back from blood. You better know how to bring blood with it. Amen. You're a soldier. You've learned to fight. Okay, we got a ways to go down in here. I'm going to get with it here. We're just about here. Kindness, charity. Charity thinketh no evil, believeth all things. Charity is kind, long suffering. Help me, Jesus. For in these things be in you, if that's that big word again, if, oh come on. If these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, what if you are barren? Or what if you are unfruitful? The Bible said to take an axe to the root of the tree that doesn't have fruit, right? And if you're barren, means that you're not going to bring forth the inheritance to the throne. Barren woman can't bring forth a child. And the woman saved in childbearing, church, you're the woman, the bride. You're saved in childbearing, New Testament doctrine. And if you're barren, then there's no inheritance for you. The allegories in the Old Testament teach us this way. So if you're barren, brethren, sisters, you got no inheritance. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind. Well, nowhere does he talk about the sons of God being blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and your election. Well, I'm the elect of God. I've been called of God. Well, make it sure. Make your election sure. For if you do these things, if you do these things, you shall never fail. If you're not doing these things, you've already failed. Amen? Well, you're making salvation works. Exactly. Salvation is works. But works doesn't bring salvation. Amen? But if you don't have these works, you have no salvation. And you're not saved by those works. You're saved by faith. And you're saved by grace. Amen? But faith, brethren, produces these things. Faith is diligent. Amen? Patient. Faith is going to endure with diligence and endurance and steadfastness. Come on, church. That's what we need in our lives. Amen? I approve this ad. Whether giving of diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fail. For so entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, verse 12, I will be not negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. So here's a preacher saying, yeah, you should know these things. You should, yes, have all these things, but I've got to put you. I will not neglect to put you in remembrance of these things. Though you know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meant as long as I am in this tabernacle to stir up the putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, to have these things always in remembrance. Amen? For we have not followed cunningly devised fables. I wish all could say that. The Bible talks about wives' fables. Well, I tell you, man, the apostate church is so wrapped up into it. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. People need to see that majesty in you, brothers and sisters. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. Amen. For he received from God the Father honor and glory. When there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Did you guys hear that? You're his beloved son in whom he's well pleased. The Bible said, beloved, beloved. He called you beloved. Beloved, you are the sons of God. Beloved, you are the sons of God. Amen? God received the word. And this voice came from heaven, we heard. And when we were with him in the holy mount, we have also a more sure, wow, a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that you take heed. Some don't take heed, brothers. They don't take heed. They're too blinded with shucks on their eyes and stoppers in their ears. They're not taking heed. They're not being diligent to take heed. Okay, we have also a more sure word of prophecy whereunto you do well that you take heed. Take heed as unto a light that shineth in dark place. We need that light shining in a dark place of our carnal mind, brethren. Until the day dawn and the day star arises in your heart. Praise God, man. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scriptures is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake they, were moved by the Holy Ghost. Amen? Amen. All scriptures given by the inspiration of God, 2 Timothy 3:16. All scriptures given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. For doctrine. Anybody say doctrine. Doctrine. Let's say one more time, doctrine. Doctrine. And people get mad at me for preaching doctrine. That brother that I paid his way to India here not long back, he sits in my house over here. He said, I don't preach doctrine. He said, you're a pastor, you have to preach doctrine. I don't preach doctrine. Well, he got nothing to say, and I told him that. I was kind, you know, I was as kind as I could be about it. I really was. What are you laughing about, guys? Come on, man. I really was kind. I mean, he didn't get him stomped out of my house. I ain't seen him again, you know, but no. It's, but, you know, I said, we got nothing to say then. Amen. We have to be indoctrinated, brother. I wish that was the only preacher I ever heard that. When we went up to help a guy do a tent meeting up here in Lexington, he told me the same thing. He goes, I don't preach doctrine. Doctrine divides, and doctrine, praise God. You know, the Bible said we're workmen who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word. Amen. Rightly dividing the word. Amen. And you know, I went up to Washington for Jesus many years ago, and the thrust of this meeting back in the 90s, to tear down the denominational walls. Well, that's kind of dumb. God put them there. He don't want me going across through that wall over and hanging out with the Catholics. Two can't walk together unless they be in agreement. He made it nice for you to put a wall there. I don't want to walk with them. Amen. If they're bringing any other doctrine than what Jesus Christ brought, let them be accursed. A cursed thing ain't a good thing, brethren. Amen. So these doors and these walls are there. I tell you what, I've never seen such a hideous display of religion in all my life as I saw at Washington for Jesus when I went there. They brought a group up on the stage and they were dancing and bumping and grinding like a disco concert from the 70s. And they're doing this in the name of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you what, the country western show that those poor innocent people got killed in over there was more virtuous than Washington for Jesus was. Because those people do what they do. You country western bunking crackers, you know, that's the way you're supposed to dress. You know, put your wife out there in them cowboy boots and let her strut her stuff. She's a stinking whore anyway. Let her fluff out that hair and put on all that makeup and stuff. You say, Brother Ron, why do you talk so offensive? Because I can't be offended, number one, but what I should be with your foolishness. Amen? Come on, man. And, you know, we're not of this world. I'm not going to that kind of junk. The only reason I was at Washington for Jesus, we were passing out the Word of God, giving gospel tracts out, trying to help somebody. Trying to bring some word to somebody is what we were trying to do. Amen? But this is the way of all flesh. They've taken and got the whole world to follow after the Antichrist. So the last couple verses here. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures is of any private interpretation. You could try to twist it around and make it say what you want it to say, but it ain't for that. Amen. The only thing that would help you to interpret the Word of God is the Word of God. Amen. So in other words, I could take you to a scripture of such, and I could take you to another scripture that vindicates, witnesses. The Bible said, let it be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Amen. So the thing is the prophecies are even subject unto the prophets, the Bible says. Amen. There is a understanding. But when people take it to their private interpretation, and usually when you find the private interpretation and the modifications of these things is to defend one thing and one thing only, denominationalism. Brother William Branham, if there was a thrust to what he was here to do, it was to destroy denominationalism. If there was a thrust. But now his church is denominationalized. And they got the same little walls and the same little doors. And if you ain't a message man, they denominationalize you right out. They don't want nothing to do with you. And honestly to say, and I'm going to say this with all respect and love, I want nothing to do with them. Because they have taken a great man of God, a godly man, and they have perverted his cause and his purpose and his life and his ministry into one of the most degrading and disrespectful ministries in the world has ever seen. That's pretty harsh, wasn't it? But that's what they done. I'm not talking about Brother William Branham. I'm talking about what his followers have done. And they think they're justified by quoting him and sounding off the things that he said. And they got to such a wretched place that they say that God has not spoke to another man of God since William Branham went off the scene. And that if any preacher in this earth has anything to say, it's a repeat of William Branham. And some of them have even gone on to this point that I've heard them tell me to my face. I'll say this isn't hearsay, but they said that Jesus Christ isn't coming back for the church, that it'll be William Branham. What a little bit of truth in that. Well, there's no truth in that, because William Branham no longer lives as Christ. But what I'm saying is, brethren, he's the Son of God. He will be there, and he will come back. Amen. And the thing is I'm not contesting that at all. But when they exclude the Lord Jesus Christ, brethren, is what I'm against. Because he is the authority and the power and the way and the life and the salvation. He is to all things. Amen. It's all about him. And if your ministry takes away from him and gives it to you, amen, you have nothing without him. You can do nothing without him. You cannot have salvation without him. He is salvation. Predestination is only in one thing and one thing alone. It's in him. It's the Bible. It said you're predestined in Christ. Not in theology. Not in retention of word. Not in knowledge. Even though I took time this morning to preach knowledge, bring understanding. But that's not your salvation. Your salvation is Jesus Christ, and it's him alone. And you say, well, I love him and I know him. Well, the Bible said if you love him, you keep his commandments. So then if you're not keeping his commandments, then I would have to stay with my word and say, you're just telling me you love him. The Bible said you praise him with your lips, but your heart's far from him. And your heart, I told you, is continually evil and divisive. But Brother Rob, I love the Lord with all my heart. Well, if you love him with all your heart, you're going to keep his commandments. And as we cut down reading all these things, it comes down to this really big, huge word. It's hard to understand. It's hard to expound on. It's got so many syllables in it. But it's called if. If. So if is throwing a clause in there that if you're not, if you do, this is what you get. And if not, this is what you get. So it brings it to a decision. Choose you this day in whom you're going to serve. That's what the Bible teaches. So then this morning when you get up, you're going to choose to mortify Rob Coons, kill him, and let Christ live. Or I'm going to choose to follow after my will, my wishes, my religion. I like my religion because it don't require too much of me. Oh, Jesus is good. You know, Catholicism is a wonderful religion. You know, you go over to the booth over here and you go in the little door. Oh, Father, I've sinned. You know, go count your beads and, you know, say your Hail Marys and stuff. And, you know, God forgive you and go back and be a whoremonger tomorrow. You know, that's an easy religion, ain't it? Yeah, you go over here to some monkey in the booth. That's a compliment, sorry. And, you know, the beast world and the beast mind, you know, says we came from monkeys. You know, you go to school and they let them pump that trash in your children that you come from a monkey, a big bang. Come on. You know, that's what they're trying to teach our children. And we let them do it. And you call yourself a mother and a father. And you let them pervert your children with that kind of filth. And you call it education. You call it knowledge. It's perverting them. Amen. They teach some of the most hideous, stupid things, man. We were standing in the backyard last night. And I look up and see an airplane flying by. And I think, my God, the government's poisoning us, man. You know, I used to be in aerial application. We would load large airplanes up with thousands of gallons of chemical. To kill grasshoppers, to kill mites that would get in the crops. And you know, we would be out flying with our wheels so low to the ground that they're going between the cotton rows or the grapevines. You know why we had to get down so low to the ground? Because when it starts getting warm, the heat will grab this mistified spray and it'll take it up into the atmosphere. So here's a jet going by at 30,000 feet, 40,000 feet, and this vapor trail's coming in. With anybody with any sense knows what it's going to come from. It's just like your water glass gets wet on the outside. Who spilled water on my glass? Every time your glass is wet on the outside, are you going to, you know, somebody put water on my glass? You know, condensation and temperature changes and stuff. A hot engine, you know, jet engine's putting out that thrust is hot. There's moisture in the air, and when it's going to come out, we're going to have what they call a vapor trail. Oh, but man, our government's poisoning us. You know what I'm thinking? That stuff will never even see the ground, ever. That vapor in any of the burned fuels that are coming forth will never make it to the ground. It's going to be up there in that ozone layer for you liberal bunch. Okay, we're not going there. Yeah, global warming. Yeah, it's warming up, all right, because God's getting ready to burn it. Amen. It's warming. There may be an allegory there that we need to consider and look at. You know, I go flying. I've been in airplanes at 40,000 feet. I was over Tucson. And I could look all the way across Mexico, and I saw the Baja Peninsula coming down off the coast of California. I saw Balboa and the San Clemente Islands and stuff. All the way, now come on, brethren, all the way from being over Tucson, I could see all the way across there and see all that. Really, really beautiful sight. And I see the curvature of the earth. And then we send up our space boys, astronauts, and they send pictures back of our earth, and it's round. And I look up at the moon, and it's round. And then a guy, Columbus, back many years ago, man, they were afraid to sail out there because they're going to sail off the end of this board. Wonder when everybody's going to get to the wall out there holding that water in. You know, but I mean, I'm just talking about the ignorance of mankind. You know, I watch, if I go on to the media and I watch and tune in a news thing to learn something's going on in politics, I have never seen such stupidity. I mean, a nation divided against itself is going to fall according to the Bible and the Word of God, and even to the motto of America, United We Stand, Divided. And this is the most divided nation we've ever had. No bipartisanship at all. And I see nothing but pure stupidity. And Columbus, the guy that decided to discover, very beautiful allegory, discovering this promised land. But he stood out on the beach, and I know this as an aviator. I used to have to put guiding systems up for aviation. And in 9 miles of standing and looking on the horizon, if it was flat, this wouldn't be the case. But in 9 miles, something has got to be 50 foot off of the earth to see it in 9 miles. It's got to be 50 foot off the earth in 9 miles. Now, I just testified to you being in an airplane over El Paso, looking across the mainland of Mexico, seeing the Baja California. That's pretty long miles. And you know what? If you don't believe I could see that far, I could go outside and see 93 million miles right now by looking at the sun. So don't tell me how far I could see. But now I'm not talking about me right now. I'm talking about Columbus. And he said, I stand on the beach and I watch my fellow Navy boys, shipmates, and he watches them leave. And you know, if the world was flat, what he would see is this boat when he's standing there at the backside of it being 50 foot wide. And he watched it get out there, and he gets out there 3 miles, and now all of a sudden it looks 6 inches wide. And when he's out there 10 miles, it's going to look more narrow, and then pretty soon it's going to go to what they call an infinity point, and we're going to watch it go away. But as this thing progressed out there, he's noticing that all of a sudden the body of this ship started going down, and he's still looking at the sails. He say, why are you teaching us this? Come on, brethren. These were things that were proven a long time ago. You going to argue gravity with me? If so, come up here and stand here. I'm going to stand on top of the sacred desk with a 10-pound sledgehammer. I will not hit you with it. I'm just going to drop it and see if gravity works. Oh, my. Maybe I'll throw a Fig Newton at you. Okay, I'm sorry. We're supposed to be closing, remember? But what I'm saying is, when I hear people talking about being poisoned by the government up there, let me tell you, that's so error and so wrong. But let me tell you what you're being poisoned by. Media, social media, the news, and the preachers behind the pulpits of America. God suffered them to be pulpits for they can pull them into the pit. Amen. That's where the pollution is. That's what you need to worry about. I wrote a writing called Being Destroyed from Within. We're over here in Iran, or we're over here in Iraq, or we're over here in these places trying to stop. But then yet we got school teachers perverting our children and ruining their mind. We put a thing in the house. I like the way this guy said that, you know, Dad brought a stranger home one day. Dad wouldn't allow no cussing in my house. Dad wouldn't allow no smoking in the house. Dad wouldn't allow no drinking in the house. Dad wouldn't allow no stripped off men. People, they're not going to come over my house stripped off. They're going to be dressed. They're going to be decent. They're going to be show respect to my home. This is my home. I command my home. And I'm going to respect my home. And this was my dad. But then he brought a stranger home one day. And he's drinking in my house. He's smoking in my house. He's cussing in my house. He's stripped off in my house. And Dad seemed to make allowance for that. You're an ignorant dad. And that stranger was called Peavy. And you're going to call yourself a Christian and you let some pervert by the way of airways come in here and pervert your children and pervert their mind, pervert their dress. And your children want to dress like Hollywood. They want to walk like Hollywood. They want to swing their hips like Hollywood. They want to paint themselves up like some street walking Jezebel. And you call yourself a Christian to tell me you're a father and tell me you love your children. You start off your little girls, put them in the little, oh, it's so innocent and so cute. I'm going to put her in her little sundress and stuff. And she's going to learn, man, to show that flesh. And she's going to go to hell and you're going to have her blood on you. You need, the Bible said, to train them up and raise them up in the way that they should go. That means you start it out while they're little. And you start loving them and teaching them to respect and to love and to dress properly, godly and modest apparel. Well, I don't think it has nothing to do with going to heaven. I'll tell you what it has to do with. It has to show up with what's in your wretched heart. And when you want to strip off and wear your tight pants, it's because you want to impress man. And the Bible said the woman should be shamefaced, amen? Not projecting herself or her image. And when she wants to project herself and make herself pleasable to mankind, she ain't got the spirit of godliness nor holiness. Let's give the Lord a hand, amen? Hallelujah. And you say, do you always preach holiness? That's because I'm a holiness preacher. And because my God's a holy God. And he said, without holiness, no man shall see God. And you surely won't please him. So we better consider holiness and godliness and virtue and righteousness. Amen. And diligence and endurance and steadfastness. We better consider these things. Let's stand, church. Amen. Like Brother Luffman says, I'll identify him a little better. Brother Edward Luffman. He said, you was telling me that you was close. And he goes, that's a big door to close. It took you 45 minutes to get it shut. Amen. Well, we don't want to slam it too quick. You know, somebody might be trying to squeeze through that baby. Amen. I think that Noah didn't have the ability or the way or the means to close the door in the ark. I don't know if any of you know that or not, but he didn't have the means or ability. God's the one who closed it, and God's the one that sealed it.
That's right.
Amen. And when this door closes, brother, it's going to be by God. Amen. It's going to close up and it's going to be by God. So we got Trump having to do with the last Trump. Dead in Christ rise. We know when the dead in Christ rise. And all this happens is because life went back to the Jew. Amen. We the wild tree by nature, but it goes back to the natural source of the thing. We're the spiritual source. So when this is taking place, we're right on the threshold of this happening. Trump is showing this thing. If you like him or not, that doesn't matter to me. And I'm not pointing you to be political in the political powers. I'm not pointing you towards a conservative or a liberal party. I'm not pointing you. I just look at them for what they represent. And there's a lot of filth and wretchedness going on in the Republican Party. If you think I'm a Republican, I'm not. And if you think I'm a Democrat, I'm surely not that either. Amen. And if I was going to be a natural man or a carnal man or being out here involved in the things of this world, I would most definitely be towards the conservative side because I've never seen such ignorance and stupidity in any party of any kind, and I have seen in this liberal agenda that's going on to destroy. It's Antichrist all the way. It's of the devil all the way, and it's promoting everything against the Bible. Hate is promoting murder. Promoting all these things. It's saying open up. They wanted to give rights to illegal aliens to vote. Come on now. You know, when people are trying to destroy America, And then all of a sudden, the people that have been trying to destroy this nation for years, they're going to illegally cross these borders and get in here. We're giving them the right to vote. What, you think they're going to vote for the good of America? They're going to vote to make sure whatever they put in there is going to destroy it. This is why we're promoted to ride a track being destroyed from within. The thing that's destroying America isn't the superpowers of another nation with their atomic powers. It's the mind. The thoughts of America. The thoughts of Americans have been perverted. And if this offends you, get over it. But, you know, they're trying to make you all stupid. I like what that, I think her name's Candace Owens. I like what she said to the black people. And she could say this and not be a racist because she's a black girl. A real nice, attractive young black gal. And she would probably, if you'd ask her, she's probably going to be standing on the conservative side of things. But she said, you know, she's talking to the blacks. She says, you know what? These liberals have got you all in slavery. They're going to keep you bound up and make you think that you're supposed to be poor and that you're supposed to be all this stuff. I like her. Man, black man ain't got no limitations in this country. The only thing that can limit you is the way you think. When you see a man, a black man, being the president of this country, I ought to tell you something. He decided he could do this and he pressed for it and he got it. You understand that?
Yes.
What are the limitations of a black man? If you're limited by your color, it's because you limited yourself.
Amen.
You can't blame that on your race, your skin color. It's an ignorant ideology, your thought in your head.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to go and look at the advancements of black men, I mean, they've taken over the sports, haven't they? They're leading in pretty much all the ball stuff. I mean, it's the crackers, man. Used to be, you know, we were pretty much the supreme in the golf thing. And then here comes Tiger Woods. He took and whooped all them crackers, huh? So, you know, I mean, the black man's leading in so many things, brother, and it comes all the way up to the presidency of this country. So, you know, what are you saying, brother? Well, it's an allegory. You know, the people are loving darkness more than they do light. Oh, now you're getting in racism. No, I'm absolutely not talking racism. I'm talking about allegories. Amen? And it shows Satan climbing up all the way into the upper lintels. And you say, but Brother Rob, I heard you say at one time that Obama showed the man-child caught up to the throne. I say, yay and amen, a beautiful thing. Talked about Martin Luther King, showed Moses to free these people. You know, God's people were in bondage, brethren. There's beautiful things that take place. And if we're going to look at things allegorically by skin color, there's beautiful things that take place. And if a white man, a brown man, a yellow man, a black man is limited, it's in his thoughts. Because it don't matter what you are in this country, you can do whatever you decide that you can do, that you want to do in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
There's no limitations, amen?
Right.
Yes, if you want to go back to talk about race, then there's hideous, ungodly things that's taking place for a lot more than the birth of this country. We want to go back to this country being 250 years old or whatever. There's been terrible, hideous things. Black men were done wrongly, brethren. They were first wrong by their own skin color, selling them over there in Africa. That's the ones that were selling them. The people of their own tribe or their own color were selling them. That's a hideous, terrible thing. And then white men come over here because of the love of money and the greed and the lust of them white crackers. They're taken. They call them crackers because they'd crack the whip and they would put them into slavery. Well, yeah, it's a hideous, god-awful thing. It was a hideous, god-awful thing when the Egyptians had the Hebrew children in slavery and bondage to build their empires and all these kind of things. There's been nothing but flesh and mankind with their perversions and all these things for years, brethren. So get over it and let's do something for God. Amen. You could stand in your limitations as a man and think, well, it's not fair. It ain't right. You know, this and that. My daddy done this. My mama done this. It just ain't fair. Shut up.
Amen.
Man, gird up your loins and be a man. Press in to the mark of the high calling. Amen. God has always taken the weaker and raised them up.
Praise the Lord.
So let him raise you up. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. You guys better sing. I got a preaching thing on me now. You guys made me teach for 2 hours. I'm preaching out for two, so amen. Somebody say, I love you, Jesus.
I love you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Amen. The altars are open this morning, brethren. I love you and appreciate you. I hope I said something to make you mad this morning. If I made you mad, I know you was listening. If I made you glad, I know you was listening also. Amen.
He paid a debt he did not owe. I owe a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
And now
did He wash your sins away, church? We know He did. Can you believe that and accept it? Amen.
Christ Jesus paid.
If He took them away, and you could sing that song with me. Don't let the theologians of America come and teach you that you're a sinner and you sin every day. Have enough godliness in you, enough holiness in you, enough virtue in you to go to the man with love. Don't rebuke an elder, but go to him with love and say, "Sir,
wash my sins away."
To my understanding of the scriptures and the word, that we that are born of God cannot sin. And you're teaching me I'm a sinner. Maybe you could bring him into salvation and righteousness and godliness. Your father's? Yeah. Could be a salvation. I mean that, brother. I'm going to tell you why I say that. There was a brother in the church that loved Brother Pike, and Brother Pike put him in a high position in the church, working in the editing department. And working, and he really worked with Brother George, and all the literature, all the books, everything going out. His mother was coming against doctrine and the word, and she got dementia real bad. Matter of fact, they had to put her into a hospital, into a home. She got so bad. And Brother Pike told that brother, he said, "You know, that's an answer to your prayer, brother." See, no son is going to think that could be an answer to prayer to watch his mother suffer with Alzheimer's or dementia. But he said she's gone out of her mind to such a way that God could spare her and not hold her accountable. Amen. But we're going to pray for your dad. Amen. God could heal your dad of dementia. He can do that. And that's your desire. I understand that. But if that is his help, you know, he turned the Jews over to a blindness in part, it said. For why? For grace and for their salvation. You see, sometimes we're talking about knowledge here today. I could bring you a knowledge, and the knowledge should bring you a blessing, but it can bring you a curse. When you reject the knowledge of God's word, it'll bring a judgment and a curse to you. Amen. So your dad, we're going to pray that God help him and comfort him. You've told me, shared things with me about your dad that seems to be sincere with the things of God. You've come to this doctrine, and you see some lack there. But his dad may not be accountable what you're accountable to. Be at peace in your heart. Amen. And pray and trust the Lord. Let's pray. Father, as this young man is concerned for his father, as his father's entered into his later years, he sees mind failing, health failing, and his physical abilities. The one that he looked up to as a dad and a father, he sees that world fading, Lord God. But Father, I pray for this, my brother here, that he can have peace, Lord God, in his heart, knowing that you work all things after your will and after your counsel. And Lord God, I ask you to put peace in this brother's heart, knowing, Father, that you have all things after your will. Help us, Dad. And Father, if he can have his mind cleared and come back to the stability of what the world would say a sound mind, Father, we ask you to grant that. But Father, we ask you to put a hedge of protection on him. And Father, for this my brother's sake, let him be at least a friend of the bridegroom, Lord God. Help him, Lord God. Bless him. Help him. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Hallelujah. Trying to understand God, church? If he turns these people over to a stupor for their salvation, some suffer for salvation. As a preacher came in here and he said, if you go to a church that teaches suffer and run, he said, Jesus done all the suffering. All I thought is, sir, you better get in your Bible and read it. Equip yourself with a mind to suffer. Amen. And if the early church didn't suffer, that would surely eliminate that man's doctrine. I mean, you know, we read the Book of Martyrs. It sounded like a lot of suffering in there, huh? Come on, church. We talk about men like Dmitri Dudeman that was smuggling Bibles into Russia and was killed four times and God brought him back to life. The Apostle Paul said he was stoned, left out at sea in the perils of the sea, and all these things. I think at one point it said for 5 days or something. Might have been 3 days. If that's not suffering, church, tell me what it is. He said they hated him first, talking about Jesus, and they're going to hate you likewise. Hey, sometimes when people hate you, they're going to bring some suffering your way. Amen? Come on, church. But we get in these little lukewarm doctrines, and like this preacher comes in. Hey, it sounds like a preacher I'd like to follow. Oh, man, Jesus done all the suffering. Oh, man, if that preacher's preaching works, man, he's a heretic. You know, man, we're saved by grace. Hallelujah. I had a preacher call me up, man, upset with me. He said, Brother Rob, I listened to your message, man. He said, and your preaching works. So I took time to listen to what he believes in. He says, if you call a man out of the church to come into the altars for prayer, for salvation, that you're violating the scriptures and the word, because that's works. They're, you know, the predestined ones are going to know who they are. But then my Bible says that I need to go into the world and baptize them yes. in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. Ooh, I can't do that if I get on the board with this guy's doctrine. If I'm going to get on doctrine with these guys that are teaching this, you know, once saved, always saved, which I teach, but not the way they teach it. You believe in once saved, always saved? Absolutely. I am so sure of the works of Amen. Christ that He done for me, that He died for me and put my sin as far as He's... I am so sure, my friend, that He put my name in the book of life. Amen. I am so sure of His works, brethren, that, and I'm so sure of His word that He said nothing could touch me, nothing could be laid to my charge, nothing could pluck me out of His hand. No death, no hell, no principality, no power. Nothing, amen. And I'm standing on that by faith, and faith is strength. And I've got enough temperance and endurance and steadfastness, amen, to stand on that without wavering and believe that I am God's elect. He said, make your calling and election sure. I am so sure what He done for me and how He empowered me and how He filled me. And His spirit isn't weak and it's strong, amen. And I call forth the power and the authority of all the heavens and all the angels. I am so sure that I'm sure that I'm positive that I know, amen, by the word of knowledge, by the word of Christ, by charity that believeth all things and thinketh no evil, that I am sealed in and hid away in Christ, and nothing could touch me, Brother John. Amen. That's once saved, always saved. Amen. And there ain't nothing going to change that. Amen. But the way they teach it, the way some of the followers that come under this revelational doctrine, oh man, bless God, we're the sons of God, to us the pure, all things are pure. Amen. Give me your wife, it's pure to me, man. You know? Reprobate dogs that defied this doctrine and this word and brought reproach to everything that Brother Pike stood for and everything the Lord Jesus stood for and everything that I stand for.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Brother P was talking yesterday and he said, you know, they put us all in one big bundle. When Swaggart falls, it puts it all in. He said he was reading a report and they were talking about occupations. You know what has the least respect in America? What occupation has the least respect for? And I agree with this 100%. Thus saith the Lord. You heard me say that. I agree with that survey 100%. The most least respected occupation in the United States of America, the top of it was what, Pete? What was the most respected? Huh? A pharmacist. Brother was sitting there and he said that has to do with witchcraft, pharmaceutical. Is that right? But out of all the occupations to name, at the very bottom was the ministry, religion. And you know what? America has the right to be that way because the church has been taken over by the Antichrist. And the Bible said the ministers of Satan have become these ministers of light. They've taken over the TVs. They've taken over the broadcasting. They've taken over everything. They're whoremongering dogs. And they bring you into a doctrine that it's okay for you to go take somebody's wife, but just come to church and cry out, you Catholic reprobates. The Catholic Church has been doing that for years, but now it's in the Protestant Church and come forward and cry, oh, I was in an adulterous relationship, and they cry, and you restore them and put them back in as pastors. That's why nobody has respect for the organized religion of America. Amen. And their analyzation and their judgment is accurate and right. It's a disrespected office and place. And I'm not talking about a true Holy Ghost-filled man of God now. I'm talking about the apostate church. And that's all these people see when they turn on their airways. The preachers that preach the gospel, they boycott them on the radios. We had one radio station around here big enough to go around. The manager calls me. He said, could you come by my office? I go see him. He says, hey, you know, we're wanting more of a conservative message. He said, you preach like the old time guys. And we want something a little more, you know, conservative, he said. And I said, well, sir, let me ask you a question. Have I violated the scriptures anywhere? He said, oh, no. He said, brother, I'm not saying that. But you just, you know, you preach strong. And, you know, and I wasn't the only one they removed. But God removed that whole radio station.
Right.
But see, this is what happened. You see, when Jesus went in before the high priest and the Sanhedrin, these people of this order, they commanded to smite him across the face. That's where his problem was at. Amen. Was with the religion. And let me tell you, religious America, you're going to hell.
Right.
And God's going to laugh at you on the day of calamity. This is not a Christian nation. This is an ungodly abomination. When they put Obama in there, I'll tell you what the black brother said. Amen, Brother Tyvon. He said when he came in and was letting America know that it has now become an Obama nation.
Right.
Amen. Brother Tyvon, is that what you said? And I agree with him 100%.
Amen.
Had nothing to do with the man's color, brother. It had to do with America allowing a Muslim to come in the highest office. And oh, we can't call this Muslim thing, we can't call it a radical Islamic. We can't call it that. They want it to water down. Oh, don't you call a drunk a drunk. Oh, he's sick. It's a disease. Don't you call a stinking reprobate queer a queer. You know, you need to call him gay. He was made that way by God. I'm sick of religion.
Amen.
Religion has killed America and destroyed America. And I'm in agreement with that thing. And I understand why they would esteem every one of these preachers down to the lowest of respect level. Because they've disrespected America by quit preaching the gospel.
Right.
They disrespected America by being on the golf courses. They disrespected America by being out in the fishing holes. They disrespected of America why they frolic and they dress like pretty boys. And they grow out their hair like pretty boys. And they put their little earring in their ear. And they do this stuff and they strip their wife off like Jezebels. They've lost their respect. It wasn't my survey. It was a survey of the American people. My heart goes out to people that aren't in church.
Amen.
Why? Because they don't want to be in church to sin under a reprobate. They're sick of it.
Right.
But then yet you become a blind leader of the blind by following after it. Amen. Are you listening to me, inmates? I hope they still got enough phone time left after they're tuned in. Amen. Tell you what, they go to the churches and the prison, got some stinking queer up there. Oh, how I love Jesus. Boy, I tell you what, brother, it makes me want to puke. It makes me want to vomit on the floor, put some stinking sissified queer in there magnifying the name of my Lord and my God. Oh, this heals people for me to talk like that, but they need to be healed.
Amen.
Because they got perversion in their own heart, Brother John. They got filth in their own spirit. Amen. They should be something in them saying, I'm so thankful the preacher's preaching against sin and not condoning it and making it okay. That's what they should be saying. Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. You better sing, brother. I told you I got 3 more hours of preaching left in me here. Y'all love the Lord. I love you and appreciate you.
Jesus, use me.
Brother Luffman, come on up here.
Lord, don't refuse.
I'm not going to touch you.
Surely there
because if I do this preaching thing, might jump on you, and you might keep them another hour or two. Be nice to him, Brother John. Take it easy, son. Love you, man. Thank you.
Cross be great, our word for you.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, 3844 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.